Now, I am absolutely delighted to welcome to Dundalk FM this morning Barbara Smith. And Barbara has tomorrow night in on the space in the Town Hall, just beside the box office inside the door there. She's the launch of a new book of poetry, and you're very, very welcome.
Thanks very much.
And your the name of your book of poetry is Kairos.
That's right.
Now, just explain to me where that name came from, first of all.
Well, luckily enough, on the back of the book, Susan Connolly has done a very good job of explaining that for us. It's an ancient Greek word meaning God's time or a time in between, signifying a moment when something special happens. So for me, it was an opportune moment to get the book actually published, and that was one of the reasons why I called it Kairos.
Isn't that it's actually lovely, isn't it? God's time or a time in between, and it signifies a moment when something special happens. And I suppose in all our lives there is something special happens at certain times.
Moments, yeah. Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, Barbara, because you hear about a lot of poets in the town over the years. Now, but I have to admit that, shall I dare say it? No, I never heard of your poetry.
And that's fine, Harry.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, after reading your book last night, I found some of the poems very, very good. And it's something that I will certainly, I think you've got to read, which I always say, poetry a dozen times before you get the true feeling of it.
Absolutely. Poetry is, it's funny, I was actually at a launch last night in Dublin, and Peter Serra was launching Hugh O'Donnell's book. And he was saying that poetry is something that needs to be digested slowly.
Yeah.
And taken in, absolutely. But as to myself now, we're back in the town about 2 years now. I had been living in Drogheda before that, so that's probably why you haven't heard.
Yeah, we don't know very many people from Drogheda, should we go?
No, and we better not go there.
No.
We better not go there, absolutely. No, I'm originally from South Armagh, along on the concession road there in a little townland called Clanalaig. My father's family would be from the town as such. My mother's actually French, so, you know, we kind of were a little bit here and a little bit there. But myself, I've spent time here in Dundalk. I have spent time also in London, as most people at the end of the 80s, early 90s had to do.
Yeah.
But when I came back, with a child in tow, and lived in Drogheda, say, for 10 years. 10 very happy years, I must add. But we're back down here now in Dundalk, and we're enjoying it very much. And I'm enjoying spreading my creative wings here as well.
Was poetry something that you were always interested in, Barbara?
Well, I have to say that with regard to writing is something that I always did from quite an early age. My mum actually has loads of exercise books at home
from primary school,
yeah, which is amazing. And but the interest in poetry was sparked in the mid-90s. And what I did, I wrote, I got a chapbook published in Drogheda.
Can you explain to me, I read that in your press release, and what is a chapbook?
A chapbook is basically a softback book in which you'll have sort of like a sample of what you're capable of.
Right,
so it was roughly about 16 poems, and that was called Poetic Stage. That came out in 1998 with the aid of grants from the Drogheda Arts Centre at the time. Mm-hmm. So that actually came out very well. We had a launch down in Drogheda, and there was a lot of interest generated. But unfortunately, what happened to me is I ended up having three more children in quick succession after that.
Put a stop to your poetry.
That kind of put the brakes on things for a while. I've six actually altogether.
You've six children?
Yes, I do. Ranging from 14 to 6.
And you can write poetry as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty busy.
Good girl,
busy.
Yeah.
So after that, in the early 2000s years, I sort of started thinking about literature. I wanted to go back to study because I felt quite ignorant about it all, and I wanted to know more. And the worst thing about starting back into education is the more you learn, the more you find, the more ignorant you feel, because one thing leads to another, and it's like a great journey of discovery. So from that aspect of things, it's been wonderful. But to finish off the degree this year, I took a creative writing module. I must explain, I've done all my education through the Open University, which is distance learning, and it's been fantastic because I've been able to work it around the children. Do
you
everything
need very
from home.
Discipline for that, don't you?
You do, because you have deadlines to meet. But I found that reasonably easy to combine with the children and work towards deadlines is no problem. I have to say now, in my OU career, I've never missed a deadline. Touch wood. Only one more to meet.
Yeah, and you'll be all right then.
Yes.
Could I just ask you, Barbara, you mentioned there that you lived in Armagh. Obviously that was during the Troubles.
Yes.
And had the Troubles any kind of an effect on you as regards your poetry or your essays or anything like that?
It is something that I have investigated in one or two poems. I wrote a series of four based on my experiences of it as a child. There's actually one in this book, I think it's called August Harvest, because you saw things that people aren't normally subjected to in their daily lives. You know, one of my earliest memories is seeing the news, and you know, you got almost inured to the fact that every day on the news there was a death toll, you know, the latest person to die because of. And I must say that it's wonderful that we've moved forward so far now where that has so much become a thing of the past. And I mean, obviously in the north, because that pall is not hanging over people, that you can see the benefits of it now, you know, economic development, and you know, the standard of living has risen so well for people, you know. But it would be something that I did.
Yeah, someone like yourself, that, as I said, that lived down there, and does it make you very happy now to see how relaxed and everything it is, even to go down to Newry now? At one time, you know, that fear was in you. Like, I mean, there was years that I never even wouldn't venture down there. But it's a pleasure going down.
It's a pleasure going down now. But it's funny how you do become used to situations and you just get on with your life, no matter what's kind of going on. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there are some things that that definitely stand out in my memory, you know, especially around the time of the hunger strikers in 1981, I think that was. I remember it very vividly. I remember things happening at the time. You know.
The things that you will never, ever forget, you know, none of us will ever forget. But you, like you said, that you've got to move on. Anyway, things have improved so much that you've got to move on.
It's very positive to see the real progress that has been made, you know, as a director.
We never thought it was going to
We
get
never
this
thought,
far.
But it's wonderful. It is.
Yeah. Now, the book that you're publishing tomorrow night, you got great help from the arts committee in the arts office in the town.
Yes, I did indeed. Through the Louth Create funds that they run, I applied in March to get some funding towards the book, and their generosity is just unbelievable. And not only that, with regard to the actual launch tomorrow night, I mean, there's both Dennis Darcy and Sheila O'Sullivan, there's just not enough could they do for me, really and truly. They've been absolutely so supportive.
And a very good morning to Dennis and Sheila if they're listening in this morning.
Absolutely. I have to say they're a real credit to the town and what they're trying to achieve, you know, not only with regard to literature, but in visual art and what they do for the theatre as well.
There's so much work goes behind the scenes that they don't know.
People
about.
Don't realise what is going on, you know, absolutely. No. They just see the end product, you know, they don't see all the emails and the letters and the postage and, you know.
Would it have been possible for you to have had this book published or the launch of it tomorrow night without the help of them?
Absolutely not, no.
No. And mainly money-wise, because it is an expensive thing to get done, isn't it, Barbara?
Absolutely. The printing costs, the design, the layout, that aspect of things behind the book, that, you know, Doghouse themselves, they are on the go about 3 or 4 years, and they're striving towards that day where they will have full support from the Arts Council.
But did you get any support at all from them?
They get some, but not, shall we say, as much as maybe the big guns in Irish poetry.
Would this be one of the, you know, where the Arts Council are asking the government now for more money? And would it be this type of thing here that they're looking for the more money? They're always talking about the grassroots of arts. Would this be what?
Well, I'd like
to
think so, but I mean, the problem with the Arts Council is that they have so many categories that have to be supported as well. So, you know, each in their turn. But I'd love to see Doghouse really start to take off. I mean, at this stage, they're almost, this will be their 19th book published across 4 years. Mm. And I mean, their whole ethos is about, you know, publishing Irish-born or Irish people who live in Ireland, writers, and establishing, helping to add to the literary, the rich literary tradition that we do have. Mm. I mean, like, if you look at the back there, you'll see some names that are starting to become known in the Irish sphere. John W. Sexton, Gabriel Rosenstock is well known, Catherine Ann Cullen, Anatoly Kudryavsky, Hugh O'Donnell, you know, these kind of names. I'm just picking a few, you know, off the top of my head here, but these are all, you'll start seeing more and more, and you may see them break out and into the wider world sphere.
You see, it's very difficult, even getting funding, you know, it is so hard to get them published, isn't it? Mm. So therefore you have to have somebody like Doghouse that is there to publish them for you.
Yeah, to
you
take the risk.
To take the risk, yeah.
And then, I mean, after that then it's about promotion, it's about doing readings, which I'm going to be doing. I mean, once the book is launched here, I'll be doing readings then in Drogheda, Dublin, Galway, Limerick, Cork, Tralee. Right. You know,
and this is the official launch tomorrow night.
This is the official launch tomorrow night, but we take it on the road then after that. Because
will you read one of your poems from the book for me, Barbara? Just explain to me what this is about, please.
Well, I'd just like to start with this one. It's called Shopping Trolley. And this one is very much based on the sort of Lidl Aldi experience. It's called a Shopping Trolley, a no-frills shopping experience.
What page are we talking
We're
about here?
Page 62 there, Harry.
62, okay, dog.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
The trolley that a man gave me, he had used to push around his middle-aged contemplations, past the coffee and the tea and toiletries. He went for the TVs, bargain of the week. I used the trolley to push my 2.5 years of fuddled frustration, concentrating on porridge and packed lunches with variety but no spice. The trolley I gave in turn to a tartan wheelie bag woman. She zoomed in on it, her basics to buy with her weekly pension. That trolley saved us all from fumbling with our spare change.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, indeed. This is the kind of everyday kind of things that you like to publish about, write the poems about.
Yeah,
Barbara.
It's funny, when you're writing and you're in the thick of it, you can't see the wood for the trees, and people say to you, well, what is your book about? And you kind of go, I'm so close to the work, I can't see. So that's why it was very interesting in the reviews at the back, because these are poets that, because it's not their work, they stand back, they look at it, and they're able to identify what your actual themes are and what your modus operandi has been through. And when you bring together a collection, that's why working with Noel King, who's the editor for the book, he's fantastic with the way that he can see with a clear eye as well what poems go with what should go, what should stay, and how to actually combine the whole collection together. I realised when I was working with him that there's a whole art to it. But both Todd Swift and John Sexton picked up on the combination of the everyday, the whole idea of poetry, I suppose, is to take something and look at it in a brand new way. And if because we go through our lives, your everyday experience, you just don't see it anymore. When something, when somebody writes something in a new way, and you kind of go, oh yeah, that's it, you know.
And that one about the shopping trolley, a no-frills shopping experience. Did you think of that maybe someday you were in Tesco or Dunn's or something?
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely, I was standing outside Aldi, and literally a man gave me a trolley, and I saw he was just after putting a box into his car, and I was going, I wonder what that is. And then I finished my shopping. My little 2-year-old was in the trolley at the time. Yeah. And, you know, that's my experience, you know. And I finished my shopping, and white-haired lady zoomed in, you know, like, I'll take that.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought,
so there was three completely different worlds within the one trolley.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just thought, there's a metaphor for, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
For life, almost, you know.
Now, do another one for us there, Barbara.
I will. This one is called Song for Gwyn Bach. I have six children, as you know, Harry. My middle child, Gwyn, has quite a musical talent, and quite a talent for taking things apart as well. He's one of these children, if you leave him long enough with the video player, you'll see it in bits afterwards. But anyway, Song for Gwynbach.
Oh, what page are we on here? Sorry, 53. Okay.
Cross-legged, he leafs through manuscripts, testing the names of constellations on his noiseless tongue, imagining a homemade observatory from cardboard tubes sticky taped together. He has notions of seeing unknown stars, but a flipped, inverted view of the moon is the best he can do, an orange glow on tracing paper. A birthday telescope opens a small crack. The blue and yellow plastic tube wobbles. Its unsteady legs skew-whiff. The faulty fingerprinted lens limits a lesser scope. The universe grease-smudged. Stars still pinholes to the galaxy. Later, a screwdriver allows him nuggets inside his range. Dismembered mirrors, tubes and levers become solid things. He palms them close to his screwed-up eyes.
Again, you obviously got this watching him.
Yeah. It's kind of close observation, and, you know, like, I love the curiosity of children and the way that they again, can see things in a fresh way. And, you know, he's great fun to watch when he knows he's not being watched, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Can you tell me where the name came from? Gwynbach, is that his name?
His name is Gwyn.
Gwyn.
But Gwynbach is the Welsh counterpart to Fionn and the Tale of the Salmon. Of Knowledge. Again, it's Gwynbach goes through an initiation process and basically comes out the other end as Taliesin. And Taliesin is very well known in Welsh circles as the master bard, the bard from whom all other poetic knowledge kind of came from. So at the time when I was expecting Gwyn, I was reading a book about Taliesin, so Gwyn popped out and that's what he was.
Would you mind telling me the names of your other children?
Well, my eldest is Alex. At the time, we had thought of Alexander, and I said, no, it'll always be shortened to Alex. But of course, you know, he's turning into quite a tall chap now. He's 14. He's taller than I am now. And, of course, Big Al, you know, is the natural one there. Then there's Genevieve, who's Jenny for short. And I named her a French name. It's Genevieve in French, because of the French connection in her family. And it was funny, after I named her, my grand-aunt Denise in France wrote to me and told me, oh, I'm so delighted you called her that name. She said, that's actually my second name, believe it or not. And Genevieve is actually the patron saint of Paris as well. So it's funny, you know, all the stuff you kind of pick up. Mm-hmm. And then there's Gwyn after that. And then Daira and Emer are the twins. At the time, I wanted to go for Irish names. And I was, obviously, my husband being from Dundalk as well, I wanted to investigate the Louth connection. So Daira is the name of the man who owned the Brown Bull of Cooley.
Right.
And Emer is, of course, Cuchulainn's wife. And it's turned out very appropriate because she's such a little fairy, little blondie. And Daira is very much a dark and very muscular sort of a child as well. And Sinead, I actually named after myself because Sinead was my given name when I was born, but I never got to use it. So I thought she'd get more use out of it.
What do you mean you never got to use it?
My parents changed their minds.
Did they really?
Yeah.
After you were christened?
No, just before christening, I
think. Oh, right.
I was to be called Sinead, but they changed their mind and called me Barbara instead.
Well, they know something. I doubt very much if my poor father and mother, Lord have mercy on the two of them, when I was born, that they went to all that trouble, because my father's name was Harry.
Right.
So I was just called Harry after my father. But I'm just wondering, you know, all the people in our age group, names didn't put as much thought into them as you were saying there. It'd be right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. But I'm glad I stopped at six. 6 now, because I have to say after that.
And is that it?
Oh, absolutely.
That's it. Well, if you do go again, will you give us a ring and let us know what you're going to go? We could hold a competition on the radio.
Oh, yes, we could get everyone to name the child.
I think
that
would be a good idea. Yeah. Tell me about tomorrow night. What's going to happen tomorrow night?
We are going to have the book launched by Noel Lennon, councillor. I spoke to him a few days ago, and he was he's very intrigued by the book. But I only realised after talking to him that Noel actually taught English himself.
Good morning to you, Noel.
It was very interesting. We had a conversation about influences, and he was saying, who would you be your influences? And I said, of course, Kavanagh, you know, being from, you know, near enough these parts, only down the road, and then Yeats, and then I suppose a smattering of Heaney as well. They would be like, you know, sort of the big guys in Irish poetry. But I mean, there's plenty other there as well. But you know, it was great to have that conversation as well. Because it's often in retrospect, as we look back over the poetry, that you can see definite kind of, you know, not so much rephrasings, but you can definitely see that you were thinking about a particular line or a particular poem, you know, with that in mind, you know.
Now, you will, at the moment, rather, even though you're only launching this tomorrow night, Barbara, you are still working on another book.
Well, every poet will tell you that, you know, that they... When your book comes out, the production end of things, it takes so long. I mean, the poems that are in this book would be more or less... 4 years old, the manuscript as it was originally generated. As I was saying earlier, to complete my degree this year, I've been doing creative writing, and I've generated an awful lot of new material that goes off in slightly different directions. I think the writing in that, it's funny how self-critical us poets are. You know, you go, oh, my new stuff is so much better than my old stuff, you know. you will always say that. That's what you're striving for, is to get better, to try to find crisper ways, more concise ways of saying what you want to say, you know.
And this is where the education comes into it.
I think it really has sharpened everything up. And not only that, because one of the great things about the creative writing course is you're not working in a vacuum. It's not just between you and your tutor. You're also working with a group of students, and you're invited to enter into critical feedback amongst each other. So you actually learn far more from looking at how other people write and generating the criticism, and it's good criticism, than from actually sitting down on your own. And do you know, you will always learn far more off other people and working as a group than you do trying to batter away at things on your own, you know. So
you did Barbara, you did a new writers group. You formed a new writers group and writing workshops for the autumn. And I was going to ask you about that, but the good news is that it's as the best sayings are, it's sold out.
It's sold out, absolutely. Well, the Dundalk Arts Office organised that. And I was I was a little bit concerned, and I rang them on Friday. Actually, I said, well, you know, what's the story for tomorrow? Oh, it's oversubscribed, said Dennis to me. And I said, wow, that's amazing. I couldn't believe it. So we started there on Saturday morning, and we'll be progressing for 8 weeks, and we'll see how we get on.
Grant. Barbara Kelly, thank you very much indeed for coming in and talking to me this morning, and the very, very best of luck tomorrow night. You will be doing some reading.
I'll be reading from the book, absolutely.
Is it by invitation only, or can members of the public go
if
there?
If you want to come along, that would be absolutely brilliant. The more the merrier. There will be wine served as well. And I look forward to seeing anyone who wants to come along.
And
absolutely.
That's at what time is it taking
place?
At 6:30.
Yeah,
just make a note of that, because we're so used to things being on at maybe 7:30 or 8:00. But it's on Wednesday night in this space. Now, you just go in the main door, and it's to the left beside the box office there in the town hall. And it's tomorrow night at 6:30. Barbara, can I thank you again very much indeed
absolutely.
For coming
My pleasure,
to
Harry.
This morning.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.